I want to share a little bit of what was going on this morning, what God has been doing recently, some of the prophetic things that God's been saying. You know, we have a destiny. You know, God has called us into intimacy to know Him. It's like that destiny is through relationship. Relationship of knowing God, of knowing who we are as children of God, and knowing God's eternal purposes so we can outwork them. God wants to restore our identity and give us authority to fulfill that destiny. Our destiny is about a revelation of rulership and authority to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Manifesting God's kingdom. It's not just, it's in heaven, it needs to manifest so people can see it. You know, we're talking about giving out light of His glory. You know, we are to shine with the light of His glory. We are to demonstrate the light of God. Jesus was the light of the world, and He called His children to be the light of the world. Therefore, it's to bring His light. There is a frequency, a vibration, a sound, an anthem, if you like, that's being released from heaven in these days. And we need to respond to that call. We need to respond to that sound. It's like our whole bodies are designed to pick up the vibration of heaven. You know, we're filled with water, something like 65% water. And water vibrates with a frequency which changes it. Water is a fantastic thing. It's like, it's not like any other thing. It can be frozen, it can be gas, it can be liquid. It can be in lots of different forms, and there's something special about water. And we are made mostly of water. And the Spirit of God, when He comes over us, causes our whole bodies to vibrate. And when we're in the presence of God in worship, and we're in the presence of God, and His Spirit, and the sound that's coming out of heaven is calling us to our destiny. It's calling us to start to come into agreement. To resonate. The word resonate is a scientific term, and it means when one major frequency is there and a minor frequency comes into close proximity to it, it changes and comes into the same frequency. And we've shown that as pictures before. Like if you have two guitars and you play one string close to another one, the other string vibrates without being touched. Now when the frequency of heaven is being released, our whole beings needs to come into resonance and resonate with that frequency and come into harmony with the purpose of God for our lives. And it's like, it is time to wake up because God is shouting from heaven. This is a sound that's coming from heaven saying, you have been called for such a time as this. It's like, that comes from the book of Esther. Esther was called to the kingdom for such a time. She had a purpose to fulfill. Everyone in this room has a purpose to fulfill. And God wants us to fulfill that purpose, our destiny, and come into harmony and alignment with it. He's calling us back to our heavenly destiny. It was given to us before the foundation of the world, and He's calling us back. And I know people can feel that call. Some people don't know what it is. And there are people in the world right now who are not yet believers who are hearing that sound. Something is resonating within them and calling them back to God. They don't know what it is. But actually we're the people who have to let them know what it is. And we have to start coming into that place ourselves. You know, we have a scroll, a book that has everything about our destiny, and it was given to us in eternity. It's a letter and a decree of commission. And everyone has that commission from God. And it carries our purpose, our provision for that destiny that God has for us. It's accessed in the heavenly realms. It's accessed in our hearts. And we can connect with it. And it's about Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jeremiah 1:5. And think of God speaking this verse to you right now. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, or I set you apart for a purpose. And I have appointed you. For Jeremiah, it was a prophet to the nations. What are you called for? What are you called to? And God wants you to know. And he wants you to come into alignment with it so you start to fulfill it and outwork it. Psalm 139 says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. Think of you saying this to God right now. My eyes have seen the unformed substance. It's like, I can see it. Because God wants me to see through his eyes. In your book, scroll, were written the days that were ordained for me. When as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. God has your whole life already formed. You just have to step into it and surrender to it, to outwork it. It's completely a choice that you can make. Your destiny is to rule, to bring dominion. That is plan A. Plan A has never changed. There is no plan B with God. It's plan A or nothing. We have a choice. We either surrender to our destiny or we do not fulfill it. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. Bring the dominion of heaven to earth. So the earth reflects heaven and God's majesty, his glory, his presence actually occupies earth as it does in heaven. But he can only do that through people. The church's destiny is to bring God's rule. That's plan A. You know, it's like other churches can choose plan B if they choose, but actually as a church here we have to go with what plan A is, no matter what that does. Isaiah 2:2, the mountain of the house of the Lord is to be raised up above all the other mountains. That means to be above all the other authority structures in the world. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You are kings and priests. That gives you access to heaven, and it gives you authority to bring God's government that's in heaven to earth as a king. That is our destiny. Psalm 24:7 says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Every single person here in this room is a head. That means a symbol of authority. And God wants to lift you up to occupy authority in the heavens, so that you become a gate or a doorway for his kingdom, for his glory, for his presence to come and fill this earth. So that through you, as the everlasting doors are opened up in the heavenly realms, the glory, the King of glory will come in. Where's he going to come into? He's going to come into our lives, and then he's going to come into the world through us. Who is the King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty. He is mighty and he's powerful and he's strong, and he wants to demonstrate his strength and his power, his authority, his majesty and his glory to each person here in this room. Zechariah 3:6 is a process of surrendering to the authority of God and then outworking the authority of God. The angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, and Joshua was in heaven. He was the high priest at the time. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, that's what we do here, we walk in the ways of righteousness. If you will perform my laws, we do in the heavenly realms, we outwork the principles of the kingdom, then you will govern my house, you will have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who stand here in the presence of God in the heavenly realms. That's a picture of the heavenly realms that we've seen before. I'm not going to go into that right now. And this basically is a prophetic blueprint that God's given us to follow as a prophetic timetable to be ready for what's coming. Now, this week on Monday I went to Jubilee Christian Center to hear Trevor Baker, who's from Dudley in the Midlands. And he shared on an apostolic culture. And it's like, to say I was sort of stirred and encouraged was sort of an understatement. I actually felt I could have stood up and said exactly that, because he said loads of things that I would say. And I recognize an apostolic mantle on him. and I recognized someone who'd been into heaven and brought heavenly blueprints into earth, because what he was saying was the things that God is saying. He was speaking out this frequency of God's voice, this anthem, this call to a generation. God is calling a generation. In fact, he's calling three generations right now. He's calling forth people to fulfill their destiny. He's calling forth a Joshua generation. He's calling forth a generation of harvesters, of laborers, who are going to be 20% of the population, who are going to see the return of Jesus, and who will bring an end time harvest. But there's also a Moses generation, who, if you remain there, you will die in the wilderness and you will not fulfill your destiny. Moses did not cross the promised land, neither did anyone over the age of 20, other than Caleb and Joshua, who were men of a different spirit. Now, having been stirred on Monday, I was sort of like meditating a lot. Okay, what is God saying? You know, apostolic culture is one who lives under the blueprints of heaven. You know, God has given me, as an apostle, blueprints from heaven. You know, a few years ago I would have been frightened to stand up and say that. But actually I have the blueprints. Some of the things that we're bringing are blueprints from heaven that we have to outwork. The reality is, there's a challenge going on right now. Today is a very significant day. You know, actually, in terms of what was going on here this morning, it was not so much that we couldn't break through into the heavens. Actually, the heavens came down and rested on us. And it felt different. So, I know Linda had a picture, where we were in the prayer room before, of the canopy of God actually coming down over. I know Alice has had that picture before, brought that word, that the canopy of God is going to come rest much lower over us, so that it feels like you're under the weight of God's presence. It can feel heavy. And sometimes that heaviness could be, yes, we need to break through. And today, it was that it was right to stand up and to stand under the presence of God's glory. Because the glory of God, the word actually means weight. The weightiness of the presence of God. And it can feel completely different when God comes and rests in a different way, and often he does it in a significant time. You know, Joe had the picture this morning of actually the leaders coming together here with flags, heralding something new. And we're at a point where we're at a transition into one place from another. Alice was on the floor on Friday night and encountered things in heaven, encountered men, women in white linen who are forerunners who have gone before and have passed the baton to us. And she met Miriam, who led the children of Israel in the dance when they crossed the Red Sea. And to the picture that people were still crossing the Red Sea to get on the other side. Then, once they got on the other side, they had a choice to make. 2.5 tribes of the children of Israel chose not to settle in the promised land. They chose to settle in what they thought was a comfortable place on the other side of the river. Nothing was ever heard of them again in the Word of God. There's no record of those 2.5 tribes. While they rested on the other side of the Jordan, they went through a period where God, at Gilgal, a place called Gilgal, where God rolled away the reproach of Egypt from them. They were circumcised in their hearts. And God said, prepare yourself, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow I will do great wonders amongst you. And they went and drove out the giants, took Jericho and other walled cities, and occupied the promised land. Joshua and Moses were linked. Moses passed on his anointing of authority onto Joshua. But Joshua was the one who actually took the children of Israel into their inheritance. He was the one who basically was saying, wake up, children of God, and take your inheritance. Yes, you have to fight for it. The enemy does not give ground easily, But it's our inheritance to rule and establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus came and challenged everything which wasn't of the kingdom of God. So he challenged sickness. He challenged the demonic. He took authority over nature. He challenged so many things. The religious institution, he challenged it and brought the truth of God's word. It's like on Tuesday, last Tuesday, we had a churches together enabling group meeting, and we were talking about what God is doing and what we need to do for the next period of time and a little bit. And then like a spirit of prophecy came on me, and it was like I got really bold and I really started to challenge them in terms of, okay, what's God saying? What are we preparing for? What is going to happen? And are we ready? And I basically said, around those areas that have apostolic resource centers set up, God will release a harvest of 20% of the population so that they can be equipped in the supernatural ways of God to do the works of Jesus and to be that generation that brings back Jesus. And they were like, whoa, okay. But I didn't stop there, because there's a group that have been meeting to meet the young people's generation right now, and they've met and they were called Unite, and they had Unite meetings that were encouraging young people to come and to be equipped and to get saved and to just encourage them, because there's not a lot of encouragement around in different youth groups and things around. And they've rebranded that into United Generation. And when I saw that, I just started to prophesy about what a United Generation actually is. And actually it's nothing to do with youth. Because you can reach all the youth and have them completely disunited with the rest of the body. The United Generation is a Joshua generation. It's not about age. Joshua was over 80 when he went in. Caleb was 84 when he said, give me the high country because I want to drive out the giants. He says, you know, I am strong to go in and out to battle and to make war at the age of 80. See, everyone under the age of 20, when they refused to go into the promised land, everyone under that age weren't responsible. Okay, so in the 40 years of wilderness travel, anyone from sort of 19 in that 40 years could have been 59 years old. There could have been people who were just born, or there may have been pregnant people. So there may have been people who were just 40. So that whole generation wasn't about just young people. It was about a people who learnt to acknowledge and trust God and to do what God said. So when they were faced with the same choice, will you go into the promised land? Even though, yes, there were giants in there, even though there was big walled cities, they didn't turn around and say no. They said yes. They said yes to God, and they went in and took their inheritance. So right now, God is raising up a Joshua generation, and on this Tuesday, I basically challenged them. How many people in this room are Joshuas? And how many are Moseses? And to be a Joshua, you have to be a person of a different spirit. You have to be a forerunner. You have to be one who's willing to engage and help the next generation to come into the fullness of the supernatural kingdom of God that God intends his people to manifest on the earth. And that is not everybody. You know, there are people in this room who are actually of that Joshua generation. There are many people in this room who are of a harvesting generation. And it's not about age. It's about a call of God and a destiny. And that harvesting generation will be fully operating in the fullness of Jesus' greater works, doing awesome things. I've seen the things in the spiritual realm that people will be doing in those days, and what they will have to be operating in terms of authority and power to be able to overcome and take authority on the earth. We have to be prepared. Joshua's are forerunners. They're those who have been called to take possession of their inheritance, but then make sure that a whole generation come in with it. get God's purposes and fulfill their destinies in God. Now, don't want anyone to be part of a Moses generation who miss that. Because there's a whole generation of religious people who've gone before, who actually I would honour, because many of them have taken steps that have brought us where we are right now, but are not prepared to make the final step. And judgment is coming to the household of God. But a few weeks ago, I had an encounter with God in which God spoke to me really clearly, probably the most weighty word that I've ever felt from him, in which he basically said that he was preparing to come to his temple and turn over the money changing tables to drive out those who are selling, drive out those who are selling animals and things for sacrifice, and he was going to come and completely turn the whole church upside down, just like Jesus did. Now, you can look at that and say, well, actually, our body, we are temples of the Holy Spirit, so he may well be coming to us to do that in our lives. But actually, the weight of what I felt was, he was coming to the church. Seriously, coming to the church, and he was going to turn things over within the church that do not represent him. And there are a whole load of things that no doubt will come out of that. But he showed me that Jesus was waiting in heaven right now, and he was plaiting a whip, just like he did. So he's not coming in anger, he's not coming in reaction to anything that the church has done, he is coming in the cold light of the righteousness of God to get rid of the fact that the church has been seen as a house, a den of thieves and robbers, where it should be seen as the house of God and a house of prayer. So everything that the world sees in the church that they laugh at and they ridicule and they despise, he's going to overturn. So those who see the church as the Vicar of Dibley type setting or other things like that, which sees it as irrelevant and meaningless, that stuff is going to get challenged. Anybody who is operating the church for their own ends and their own reasons, for their own glory and for their own financial benefit, he is going to turn it over. Anyone who's been trading on different things and different floors, which I know some of you don't understand what that is, but actually it means that you're willing to give something and sacrifice something to the wrong things for the wrong motives, he's going to come and challenge. Now, I've never really felt a word as strongly as that. And actually, God said, you have 3 years to get ready. And God has spoken to us about the next 3 years, about coming into lordship, kingship, and sonship. But we have to be ready as a Joshua generation in the next 3 years to be able to equip the next generation to take their inheritance and to fulfill God's purpose and call. And I saw Jesus plaiting this 9-stranded whip. And when he comes, it is going to be serious business. And Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but to come to bring a sword. And that sword is a sword which brings judgment. And judgment is just saying, this is right, and this is wrong. What side are you going to be on? You for me, or against me? Because the religious institution which remains after Jesus has come will be persecuting and opposing the true people of God, who God is going to raise up in authority and power. And we've got some time to get ready, but we cannot afford to waste time. And I felt this morning, actually there was a herald of something new that we have to now start to move into. The picture of the canopy over us was that eagles came and they stretched this canopy out, lifted it up and stretched it out. A few weeks ago on a Friday night, I had a vision of a portal opening, a heavenly portal with angels coming through it, and these angels were coming through it en masse, carrying strings, cords, and they were bringing the cords out, and they had stakes on the end of them. They were dropping them at people's feet, and people had a choice. They could ignore those cords and stakes, or they could pick them up. Some of them I saw pick up, put them in the ground. Okay, this is where I am. Others walked out with those cords as far as they could go until they the point where their destiny was, and they've put them in the ground. Isaiah talks about expanding our tent pegs, lengthening the cords so that the canopy of God's kingdom, authority, and power will go further and further. It's like when Trevor Baker was talking about the apostolic mantle that he had and what they were doing, and they did things completely the opposite from us. They had a ministry which reached right out into the world, and they had people coming all over the world for some of the revival meetings and for the great teachers, Bill Johnson and others that they had there. But actually, they said people round about where they lived didn't even know that they existed. Now, for us, we've actually spent time in developing here what God is doing to reach our community. And so we have a reputation here for being able to meet the needs of our community, and we've got more of that to be able to do. And so we've established something here which is a foundation for going further and further and taking it further and further out. So for us, God does it to different people at different times, but for us, we've built here something of a center which is a foundation, a place for us to expand from. And God is going to take that. Now, I want to encourage you, do not settle for second best. Do not settle and say, well, actually, it's really comfortable over here. I'm going to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Actually, we need to go in and inherit our destiny and take the promised land. And God is giving us a real time to prepare for that. And he's giving the church an opportunity to prepare for it. And so United Generation, for me, was a prophetic statement. And yes, we need to reach the young people of our world. We need to reach the youth. And there may be better ways to reach them. But actually, what are we going to do when we've reached them? What are we bringing them into? Are they going to be brought into church as we know it? I don't think that's going to work. They need to be brought in to a demonstration of God's kingdom. They need to be brought in to be part of a harvesting generation. They need to be given vision. They need to be inspired to fulfill their destinies as part of a bigger united generation, which cuts right across the ages. We will have children who are ministering in power and the Holy Spirit and doing miracles and signs and wonders and will be declaring the demonstration of God's kingdom in measures that we've never seen before. And that children will be doing that. We will have young people doing it. We will have people right across the age ranges doing it. It's not about age. It's about a generation called to unite for the purposes of God's kingdom to establish heaven on earth and to fulfill our promises and our mandates to bring God's kingdom. And so we have to be ready so that if we see a whole generation of young people saved, they don't come into a church which is boring and isn't doing anything. We have to fulfill our destiny, and we have to be able to equip them in the supernatural ways of God. So, yes, there is going to be a United Generation. It is not just going to be young people. It's going to be people right across the board who are called to be inheritors of the promises of God and have a destiny to fulfill. And I, for one, want to equip that generation. I want other Joshuas and Caleb, people with a different spirit, who receive the mantles of authority and power that God is going to release, to be able to go before and to say, come, follow us in. We're going to take possession of the land. And we're going to do crazy things like circling the walls of a city for 13 times. And the walls, which were so thick that chariots could race on the top, actually sank completely into the ground. And they're there to this day. They found them. They didn't collapse. They sank because their shout of victory that they rose up caused the very vibration of the ground to open up. And it sank. Those things we will be able to start doing again. And yes, as in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. All the things that went on in the days of Noah will be in our face, and there will be an explosion of evil and an explosion of the enemy's challenge to destroy this generation. The whole thing of abortion has been to destroy this coming generation. And God is not going to be mocked. He will not lose the battle, and he's looking for people who are going to stand with him to rise up, as our anthem says, to be a generation that make history. don't know, I want to be part of that generation that make history. I want to equip a generation who's going to see Jesus return. To see actually a harvest, an end time harvest where the river of God's glory is poured out on the earth and we see God's kingdom manifested like never before. But it's going to take a challenge to be transformed and changed so that we're ready for our destiny and prepared. Hence this whole series has been about preparing for destiny, preparing our lives, being willing to be changed, transformed into the image of God, into the image of Jesus, the Son of God, so that we can do the works that Jesus did and greater works than these we can do because he's pouring out his Spirit. Yeah, these are exciting days to be in. But actually, it's going to take total surrender. Joshua stood up one day and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose you this day who you will serve." And it's God is calling us to a choice. Are we willing to surrender to fulfill our destinies, or are we going to continue doing it the same way we've done it before and before? Because it won't work. And when God comes to his temple, I do not want to be like Ananias and Sapphira who fall down dead at his presence. Because when the glory of God starts to manifest in fullness, I don't want to be burnt to a crisp. I want to be taking that glory in and reflecting it out. So the whole world can see the light of the glory of God manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? And leave it there.